Single? Middle-aged? What the f-
What's happening, Dolly?
Guy Dolly.
I feel like I haven't seen you in too long.
We haven't. It's been at least, well, it's been 2 weeks for sure, if not three.
Yeah, 2 weeks for sure. Well, when did I see you before I left? We recorded our last podcast right before I was leaving, like 2 days before I left on my trip, right?
On body image?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, or it was a week before you left.
A week before I left.
So that would be 3 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks. I feel like it's been 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can't keep doing that.
I know. We keep saying that.
I miss you. All right. So we are trying a new cocktail that we decided to come up with. It was actually...
I came up with it.
Okay, I came up with it. I say we a lot, even if it is me. I like the we better than the me.
I know.
So,
but I want to give credit where credit's due.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do you like this one?
I do. Well, okay. With the agave.
And
I'm not a soda fan. So, yeah, the first one was a little rough for me.
And you're not a mezcal fan either. So that was really
rough.
No,
we're not.
For you.
Yeah. But I'm okay with this. This is good.
Yeah. So I decided to do a little. Something different, a little take on a martini. And I wanted some fresh fruit because we did the one with the fresh grapefruit that was really, really good.
That was good.
And I was like, I really don't want to do another lemon drop. What can I do? So we decided to make a fresh pear martini. And really, it's just Belvedere vodka, fresh muddled pear with a little bit of agave and a splash of soda. And it's actually fresh and delicious.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
Yeah. So cheers.
Yes, cheers.
Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Cheers, cheers.
All right, so I'm really excited that you are getting your blog going. We should be announcing that going live in the next couple weeks, the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
Me too.
Just did your little photo shoot for your pictures on your site, so that's kind of fun. I just got back from Mexico.
You did.
So that kind of sparked what we want to talk about, right?
Well, I was going to say the trip from hell, but it's not really the trip from hell. You just had a few challenges.
And the thing is that she asked me like, how was your trip? Oh my God, it looked amazing. And the reason she said that is because everything I posted on Instagram and Facebook made it look amazing. And I almost kind of, in the middle of it all, decided to do that sort of on purpose, just to kind of show the difference between Instagram and real life.
Yes.
You can make pretty much any life, any vacation, anything look like it's great and fantastic on Instagram or social media in general, when in reality, it's really nothing like what you're seeing at all. So I think the message is, like you were saying, we get so sucked in, right? We get really sucked into what we perceive as other people's
perfect life.
We think their perfect life. And we think everything on Instagram is their life, right?
Yeah.
That's just not, that's not accurate, right?
It's not, not at all. But I mean, I was sharing with you, I got sucked into that because I, you know, with my blog and stuff, I've been following a lot of influencers to try to get some ideas and figure out what Instagram's really about, etc. And I'm like, oh my God, all these girls are beautiful. They have huge diamond rings. They live in these beautiful homes. Their husbands love them. All their husbands do all their pictures. I'm like, what the hell? But when you really have to sit back and think, it's like, they're just showing you all the good, pretty stuff that's Instagram worthy.
Right.
Like what you were sharing with on your vacation, because her whole Instagram feed, her vacation was fabulous.
Right.
But if you talk to her, like when we talked, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Instagram versus reality, because reality is their trip had a lot of challenges and was not all beautiful and pretty. And
not at all.
At all.
Like, at all.
It even started rough. You getting on the airline, you had to pay extra for, I mean, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it started with the airline contacting us and telling us that they canceled our flight and put us on a completely different flight on a completely different day coming home. So our return flight was basically canceled, and they booked us to come home a day early. which in hindsight might have been a blessing. I don't know. but so that's how it started. And it was, and then we get to the airport, and of course we're flying out of Tijuana, because it's when you're flying within Mexico, for us here in San Diego to fly out of CBX out of Tijuana, we get airline tickets that are so incredibly reasonable, right?
Yes. And it's a safe airport. There's I've flown out of Tijuana. There's nothing wrong with that airport.
Oh, it's great. I mean, the new CBX is fantastic.
Well, yeah, they just totally redid it from the last time I was there. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's totally safe. It's good. It's on the up and up. No worry. You shouldn't be worried.
Right. Shouldn't be worried.
Right.
And you shouldn't be worried. Everything was great. Like in terms of safety and all those things, it was good. But, you know, we're going through the airport and we find out that if you're traveling from Saturday to Saturday, that's considered 8 days. So anything over 7 days, you have to get a visa. So they make you get a visa at the airport, which you have to pay for. So, and then they charge you an extra $30 on top of that round trip per person just for CBX crossing. So before we even got on the plane, we were already out $200.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay. Yes. So, how do they get 8 days from Saturday to Saturday?
Yeah, we were already out. We were already like out $200 before we even got on our flight out. We're like, okay, this is starting off a little rough. So we get there, fly in, get our rental car. And as we're driving to our hotel in Cancun, we're driving through, I mean, these areas on the road that we were driving through that were flooded were like, you could tell this place had been hit, right? With some sort of storm. And I know that they had just gotten hit like a week and a half, like 10 days previously by a pretty big hurricane. But there were, and there were power outages and things like that. But there were no lost lives. There were no like structural damages or anything like that. So it wasn't like a super crazy hurricane that really took the town out or anything. But you could tell, like, we were driving through floods that were almost up to our door, right? On the way to the airport, we're like, wow. So the next morning we wake up, we drive down to Tulum because that's where we really wanted to spend our first 4 days there.
Right.
And our last 4 days we're going to be our last 3 days we're going to be on Cozumel, on the island of Cozumel.
Right.
So we go to Tulum. We get there a little bit late. It's cloudy. It's sun and cloud, but we're there, you know, a little too late to go hang out at the beach. So we went to the beach bar, had dinner at this table on the beach, smoked some shisha, did a little hookah session, had lots of tequila, and just had a blast. Went to bed, had this beautiful room, this palapa, oceanfront palapa, absolutely gorgeous. And we wake up the next morning and the wind is blowing so hard and the rain is coming down so hard that it is like we have a little bit of flood coming in from under the door. Mm. I mean, it was crazy how bad it was raining. And in Tulum, in the main area where all the hotels are on the beach right there, isn't paved. It's dirt with lots of potholes.
Which I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I figured the main road would be, because so many people are going to Tulum.
It's, well, the main road out in the middle of,
no, where the hotels are off. I mean, they're all off of one road. That's not paved.
So the main road is paved, but you turn off the main road to another paved road all the way down till you get to the ocean. And then you hook a right. And that takes you to all the beaches and the actual hotels that are on the beaches. But that's all dirt and tons of potholes.
Oh, wow.
And so it's pouring. So it's mud. It's pouring. We can't spend any time at the beach. We're like, how long is this going to last? Not only did the rain last until the following Saturday, so we had no beach time. We couldn't go in the ocean, couldn't lay out. Walking around, you're just constantly getting wet. It's raining, right? And but the town of Tulum had a bit of a blackout, so we had no electricity. And when the electricity goes out, you have no water. So we couldn't flush the toilets.
We
it couldn't take a shower, couldn't anything.
Brush your teeth,
like you said, with bottled water or something.
Right.
We're like, oh my God, okay, so what do we do? So we hopped in our rental car and we decided to just go check out some cenotes, which are stunning. They're beautiful.
Yeah, pictures are gorgeous.
I mean, those really are gorgeous. I mean, we walked to the cenotes in the rain. We didn't care. We went swimming in the most clear, gorgeous, blue, beautiful water. I swam in these caves with I mean, it was stunning.
It
was. If you ever go down there, if you go down to that part of Mexico, check out the cenotes. It was really good. Our favorite was Dos Ojos, which was just gorgeous, where I got to swim in the dark caves. And I mean, it was just really beautiful. But again, we drove there in the rain. We walked to the cenotes in the rain. And we had our clothes with us and we took our clothes off and we didn't feel safe leaving our stuff in the car. We didn't really know about getting a locker. So we had our stuff, but there was nowhere to put your stuff, like on the benches and stuff, just to put our stuff down, our clothes when we jumped in, because it would get soaking wet. So everything was wet. It was just constantly raining. So we had to find...
They have lockers? You mentioned locker. Do they have lockers?
So they have lockers up by the front. They don't have them down by the cenote.
Okay.
So they're up by the front. You have to give your stuff to these people at this little rinky desk to put your stuff in a locker, and we just didn't feel safe. And when we were at one of the cenotes, the lady goes, do not give them your driver's license for your vest, for your life vest. They are telling us that we never gave them our license and refused to give our license back. So do not get a life vest. Do not give your driver's license to anybody.
Okay.
So we got nervous about
giving
our shit to anybody. We were like, oh my God. Okay. So we'll just take our stuff and like hold it close and try to find a hiding place for our shit, like underneath stairs. Like, you should have seen us. It was like super challenging, but it was beautiful and it was fun. And that was great. We had two power outages. And so we decided to leave Tulum because on my actual birthday, I wake up, all the trouble we had with the room, with the flooding and everything that happened, they refused to give us any concessions for anything, right? So we didn't get any concessions for the flooding in our room or anything. So we're arguing in the morning on my birthday. We drive up to Playa del Carmen, which is where the ferry is, to take you to Cozumel, where we were going to spend my birthday.
Okay.
And we had our hotel reservation and everything in Cozumel.
Right.
All the ferries are shut down because of the weather. We could not get to Cozumel.
Which in hindsight, thank goodness.
Couldn't get to Cozumel.
I mean, you wouldn't want to spend a hurricane on an island.
No. That would have been a bummer.
Yeah.
But the hotel over in Cozumel refused to refund our money, even though it was a weather issue.
Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. I fought with them all day. It was really rough. We found a hotel.
Wow.
So we're stranded in Playa del Carmen. We find a room right by where we were that just looked like a pretty nice hotel by Hilton. So we decided to go there, which actually turned out to be fine, totally great. We're like, let's wake up in the morning and figure out what to do. We have no idea what to do. The day's already gone. It's my actual birthday. We have no idea. And I'm like, let's just go fucking drink. We just need to go get some margaritas at this point.
Chips and salsa. Let's get drunk.
That's right. So that's what we did. And we ended up ducking into a bar because we decided to walk down this place called Fifth in Playa del Carmen, which is a bunch of shops, super nice. And it starts pouring and we duck into this bar on the beach to get out of the rain. And I meet this American guy who lives there half time. And he says, you need to go to 38th Street. So the next morning we wake up and we're like, let's drive down 38th Street. The guy said to go there. He said it's upscale. He said it's beautiful, tree lined, all this stuff.
Yeah, quaint, sounds
really
perfect.
Cute. So let's go. Let's drive there before we drive all the way back to Tulum and try to figure out what to do. So we drive down 38th and we drive past the cutest looking resort. And we're like, oh, what's that? We end up pulling in there. Looking while we're parked in their little area, we look on hotels.com to see if there's availability.
Yeah.
Totally within our budget. Cheaper than what we would have paid in Cozumel for our place in Cozumel. And so, it included all of our breakfast and all of our dinner. And so we ended up staying in this fantastic resort hotel in Playa del Carmen for the rest of the time we were
there. Is it like a boutique hotel or
no? It's like a resort with a spa.
Wow.
It was really beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Like right on 38th and Playa del Carmen, where we could walk if the rain would let up long enough. And so we ended up meeting a guy in a bar because we were trying to get out of the rain, who led us to this great hotel, which our first night, our whole room completely flooded. We woke up in the morning and got out of bed and our feet stepped into a puddle in our room next to our bed.
Oh my God.
So they had to move us.
Oh my God, Michelle.
They moved us to a room that we really, really loved. It felt like we were in the jungle, another palapa that ended up being really great. We loved it. No issues at all with that. And then we were like, it's pouring. Let's drive 2 hours inland and go to the ruins, which... was pouring and we got soaking wet there too, but what was cool is that we drove through parts of Mexico we wouldn't have seen.
Right.
We drove through these cutest little towns and saw like the real Mexico there. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And we found this great roadside restaurant where we had one of the best meals of our entire trip in the middle of nowhere in this cute little family restaurant on the side of the road that was great, that was full of Americans. Like, it was, so there were just a lot of blessings because we didn't throw in the towel and say, we didn't throw in the soaking wet towel and say, let's go home, which did cross our mind. But we didn't. We're like, what can, and I think this is, I think this is a great metaphor for what's going on in our country right now, what's going on with the pandemic, what's going on with everything. If it doesn't work out the way that you had hoped or planned or whatever or envisioned, it doesn't mean throw in the towel. It means figure out what else you can do.
Right. Pivot and figure something else out.
Pivot and figure something else out. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it ended up being pretty great. And the last 2 days were sunny and we got to be on the beach. We didn't get to take a boat or anything like that. I didn't get any water sports or anything in which I love so much. But we did get to spend 2 days, the last 2 days, just hanging out on the beach together and getting a little bit of sun and, you know, just really taking in the last 2 days. We ended up canceling that flight that the airline was telling us we were going to have to take a day early. We're like, no, we're not going home a day early. It's going to be sunny these 2 days. We're staying. So we booked a totally different airline, a different one way on Sunday to come home at like 10 o'clock at night, just so we could have all day Sunday to enjoy an actual sunny day down there. And we did it. It was great. It was actually turned out like this mix of this most beautiful disaster of a trip, right? Yeah.
But on Instagram, it looks perfect. I would have had, I seriously, I had no idea until I called her. I called you last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night. But I mean, what am I supposed to post? A toilet full of shit because I can't flush?
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or, I mean, I have videos and I'm going to post those of the rain coming down. And I did post the one at the ruins when it was pouring and everyone was running for cover. And I posted that, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know why I didn't post the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, I could have really posted the reality of all that. But I think, I don't know, maybe our audience can weigh in on this, but I look at the aesthetics of my Instagram feed.
Yeah. And people don't come to your Instagram feed to see the bad and the ugly. They come onto your feed to see the good, to good see the point. Pretty. And I mean, and it's Instagram wide.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go on anybody's stories or their feed or their page to see all the terrible. We actually want to see the pretty pictures, the perfect family, the perfect house, the perfect kids, all of that. It's, you know.
But it gives us such a false perception of what.
It does.
What life could look like because.
Or no, what life does look like.
Or like what does, right, yeah. What life does look like because none of us get out of this unscathed. Not one of us is going to escape this without some sort of scar. You know what I mean?
No, it's true.
It's true.
I mean, and I think what's nice though is, you know, because I am following. What's nice is the influencers do come on and do say, look, you guys. I'm having a bad day today. Mm-hmm. I'm not posting anything. I'm MIA. I mean, they'll be raw and honest, but they're not, you know, posting a bad picture. They're posting a picture, you know, they took 10 days ago and like filming that.
They do that on, they'll do that on their story.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They do it on their story. So their feed still looks pretty, but their story is I'm having a bad day, this or that, but it's still, they're still made up. Sometimes they don't have a little makeup on, but yeah, that honestly is not why we go on their stories or their feeds. That's what we want to see.
But do you think, here's the question, because with everything going on, I think people are craving more of the realness. Do you think people are craving more realness and more vulnerability and more rawness and more authenticity or more of the fantasy of what life is like?
I think there's a fine line because there are some that have crossed over into, you know, the deep waters of the politics and all of that. And they're totally getting shamed and hated on and clapped at and, you know, unfollowed and blah, blah, blah. And so there, I think there's a fine line. Yeah, you have to deal with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
But it's sugarcoated and you just try to stay, you know, middle of the road. You don't try to say you're one way or the other. You just try to go, you know, because you have followers from all. Did we just lose sound?
No, it's okay. Oh. I have that one going.
So yeah, that's a good question. We don't want to see the ugly. I honestly don't think we want to see the ugly.
Yeah. I don't know. And part of me thinks that I should have said or should have done more videos going, look, can you believe what's happening today? But guess what? We're not going to let it take us down. We're not going to let it ruin our vacation. We're going to figure out what else there to do. Stay tuned. We're going to figure this out. We're going to drive to the middle of Mexico. We're going to drive 2 hours inland. You know, I think that maybe more conversational about what's going on. I don't know. I just thought, in the moment, like, how do people do that stuff in the moment anyway? Because I was stressing. Like, I was trying not to let it get to me, but on some level, you're like, what the fuck is up with the universe right now?
Okay, this isn't funny anymore. Like, I've had enough. I'm here.
I was in our hotel room on my birthday crying.
Aww.
I was crying. And the poor guy at the front desk when we were checking in,
I feel
so bad.
Were you crying there too?
I wasn't crying, but
did you lose your shit?
I almost, but I'm really getting good about not losing my shit and trying to let people know that I'm over. So this is what I told him. He comes up, he goes, it's my job to explain all of the services and amenities to you. Come with me right now and I'll explain everything to you. And I go, I can't right now. I can't. And he's like, no, I'm just telling you the amenities. And I'm like, sir, I'm telling you right now, it's my birthday. It has been really a bad day and I am about to lose it. And I need to go to my room and take as much time as I need to just calm down and clear my head and just take a minute to reset.
Right.
And he's like, okay, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm overwhelmed. I need to reset. I can't listen to anything you have to say. I won't hear you anyway. Where I'm at. So I'm getting good about saying where I am right now. Right. I'm not going to hear anything you have to say. I need to go reset ASAP.
A shot of tequila would be nice.
Because I'm right on the edge. Like, I was right on the edge. And as soon as I got to the room and I just laid on the bed, I just started bawling. And it wasn't, I didn't even know that it was, it was just release. It was a lot. Yeah. Like, we were sitting on the side of the road, nowhere to stay. We're in the middle of Mexico. Where we were in this part of Playa del Carmen, trying to figure it out by the ferry was not great.
Not a good area.
We were hungry. We hadn't eaten. So I'm like running across the street to a tequila. They don't speak English. Just trying to order a quesadilla or something. Like, we're super hungry.
That's dos tacos.
I'm like, that's it. Dos tacos.
Dos cerveza. Dos tacos.
Two shrimp tacos and a quesadilla and a beer and a cerveza.
ASAP.
And we sat in the car.
Oh, no. On delay. Right? You can tell.
Rapido.
Rapido. That's what it is. Seriously, what is sad? We live right by the border, and we don't know any Spanish.
No, and all everybody's right. Asking, "Oh, you're from San Diego? You speak Espanol?" No, I speak no Espanol.
No,
but yeah. So that's, we sat on my birthday in the car on the side of the road on my birthday eating tacos, and everyone's thinking about this great birthday trip.
Well, yeah, I mean. It never would have occurred to us that you were doing that and breaking down or being scared or any of that.
Yeah. I don't really know how to post that in that moment. Like, the last thing I could think of was posting that stuff on social media. Like, I'm so trying to just handle everything and stay calm and stay in it. So, Yeah, I don't know. I think just the reality of, I think it's really important for people to keep in mind that social media is not the full picture of somebody's life and the reality of what's going on in their life at all.
At all.
It is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction, literally snapshot of what's going on with them in that moment in time. What happened after that video turned off or that picture was taken and posted? You have no idea.
None.
None.
I know. It's, yeah. And that picture probably wasn't taken at that moment. No. It was probably taken 10 days ago or even five, you know, whatever. It wasn't, it's not like they're standing around and just taking pictures and then posting them.
No.
That is not what's happening. But you can get really caught up in all of that. I did. I totally got caught up until I had to say, whoa, this isn't real.
Yeah, this isn't real.
Like, you know, yeah, because you do. You start comparing yourself. I'm like, oh, my God, all these girls, you know. My life totally sucks. And I'm like, who's going to take my pictures? I don't have a husband takes my pictures. All these girls, their husbands take all their pictures.
Well, they have assistants.
And then, come to find out, they don't let you know that right away. You got to dig a little deeper. Yeah, and then then they start talking about their assistants. And
their assistants take the pictures, their assistants do the posts.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, when you start, but you know, it's easy. I totally understand how these girls and probably guys too, people get so sucked in and start comparing their life to what social media is showing them. And it's like, you really have to step back. That is not what it looks like. And why we're talking about this, because your vacation on social media looked beautiful.
Well, it was in a lot of ways, but...
And their lives are beautiful too, but there's a lot of behind the scenes.
That's a shit show.
Yeah.
Yes.
A total shit show.
Yes. It's stressful and challenging.
Overwhelming. You're crying.
And overwhelming and arguments with your husband. Their life isn't perfect 24/7.
I know.
You know, it's not like that. You think their love story is all that, and maybe it is, but they're going to have the same challenges as every other relationship has. Just because you're, and actually I think being famous puts even more of a stressor on relationships. Like, I wouldn't really wish that for myself. I think that that would be even more challenging to be under the spotlight like that. I think that that would be really tough. To be married to somebody super famous, oh my gosh, like that would be really hard for me.
Well, I think that's why they marry other people who are also famous, because they travel in that circle and they know what to expect. Yeah, it would be very difficult.
A lot of them don't, like country music artists, most of them don't marry other famous people.
Well, that's true. You're
right. A lot of country music people. And that's one of the things I do love about them. And I have to say, there are people on Instagram that I really love following because they do show the real stuff.
I know what you're going to say.
So not only Sarah Blakely, who I freaking love following her, but Luke Bryant and his wife are hysterical.
Oh my God, they are so awesome.
They are hysterical. They were rescuing a duck the other day. I mean, they show when it's good, bad, and ugly. Duck. His mom is... an absolute
hoot.
She's right.
Oh my goodness. Like, you have to get her sense of humor and have a little tough skin, or you might like get offended and feel
she hates me.
No.
Yeah, no.
No, not at all.
Which I love about her.
I do too.
So there are people to follow that are doing the real. They're doing that real part. I mean, it's like...
Who's the other one?
Luke Combs' wife is another one. Yes. Funny as hell. Nicole Hawking.
Yeah, Nicole.
Oh my God. She gets on there with no makeup.
Yeah.
Same Luke Bryan's wife. I don't remember the last time I saw her with makeup on.
Oh, and Instagram. During COVID, none of them were wearing makeup. They all put a baseball cap on. They're all in leggings,
yes,
a sports bra, and some kind of something, sweatshirt over it, and their Uggs, and off they go.
Yeah, which I love. I love the people that can show the real side of their life, which I really like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I need to get better about that, because I'm a videographer and I don't come off like I'm nervous in front of the camera, but I actually do get a little bit nervous. I'm, you know, kind of doing the real stuff like I did last night. I got my degree in the mail, which is kind of a big deal for me, my first degree.
Congratulations.
So it was really exciting. So I really wanted to capture that moment, you know, but again, it's one of those good moments. I didn't have any makeup on, had a hat on and a sweatshirt. So I did. It was very real and in the moment. Super in the moment. But yeah. I need to get better about that because I don't want people to think my life is just what they see on Instagram, because it is far from that. It is far from that. So I want to bridge the gap between real life and Instagram, at least for me. And I think I wish more people would. I really wish more people would. Because I feel like it's more relatable. Like, I feel like I can relate more with Luke Bryan's wife. Like, I feel like I can relate more to Sarah Blakely. Like, she's this billionaire that I actually feel like I have something in common with. Like, I feel like I could hang out with her.
Right.
These other billionaires that are constantly posting, you know, pictures of their nice cars and their nice watches and their fancy mansions or whatever else they're posting constantly all the time, looking perfect, constantly dripping in jewelry that I can't afford. You know what I mean?
Well, they have glam teams that are helping glam, them do glam, all
glam.
That.
All they post is glam, glam, glam.
Yeah.
Sarah Blakely is a billionaire, a legitimate billionaire.
Right.
One of the only female billionaires in the world.
Say some people might not know who that is.
Oh, Sarah Blakely. Oh, some people might not know who that is. Yeah. Sarah Blakely is the founder of Spanx. And she's
phenomenal.
And everybody
knows what Spanx is.
Love her. But because of following her on Instagram and how real she is on her Instagram, I feel like I could sit at her kitchen table with her and have a conversation with her like I'm having a conversation with a high school friend.
Right.
Like she's that. She comes off as that person on Instagram, and I wish more people would do that. And I need to get better about that. Yeah. Yeah, we need to bridge the gap.
Yeah, we do. And I mean, who is it? Jenna Kircher, I think she's like that too. She, she's part of the Tony Robbins, you know, thing. She promotes Pinterest versus Instagram and all the other social media. She's like, you know, but anyway, she's super real. And, you know, I think it is. It's relatable. It's very relatable.
Yeah. So I feel like we need to get closer to that. I want to try to get closer to that. And that's one reason why we started this podcast, too, because a lot of people they don't know us at all. A lot of our followers and our even friends on Facebook, they don't know half the stuff we've talked about or more than half the stuff we've talked about and have been really raw and open and honest. Even some of the people closest to us had no idea that this was who we were, that this is who we really are.
Right.
Like we're totally ourselves on this podcast. And
that goes back to when you and I first met and, you know, just based on how we looked, you and I both had judgments about one another,
just based on
simply what we wore, how we walked in the door, simply how we looked, how we walked in the door.
Totally true.
You know, so I mean, yeah, and you're right. People have no idea who we really, really are as human beings.
Yeah.
Because there's so much judgment. Right. Oh, she's this, she's that. I won't relate with her. It's like, oh no, you probably would if you sat down.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
If you sat down and had a conversation with me.
Right.
But people can't sit down and have a conversation with you. Now more than ever, people aren't sitting down having conversations together because of everything going on in the world. The only way that they can get to know you is through social media.
Right.
Really. And FaceTime or Zoom or whatever. And so, I don't know. I think it's time to really to start to bridge that gap a little bit more.
I totally agree. And just, you know, let people know Instagram and Facebook and what else is there? It's just not, that's not real life.
Twitter. Well, Twitter's more like Twitter, news clips.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, that's not, but pretty much just Instagram.
Mostly Instagram, I think. Because Instagram it's that certain age group. You know, Facebook, I think, is the little older.
And it's long form. I'm more real on Facebook because I can write on Facebook.
Yeah.
I can write out. Something that I like an epiphany or something that I had, and I do that on Facebook more because you can it's more of a long form format in terms of what you can write and share. And Instagram is much more about the visual.
Yes.
So on Instagram, that's where the visual and the real life have such a divide.
Yeah.
I think it's a little closer on Facebook because we can share more on Facebook in terms of what we can write and what we can share in writing.
Yeah, you've
and I'm a little more raw over there.
Yeah. And you've pointed that out before too, that, you know, Facebook's kind of this way and Instagram is that way. And Instagram's definitely very visual.
Yeah.
And they concentrate on how their feed looks aesthetically.
Aesthetically, which, yes. Which is why I didn't post from Mexico. The shit that was going on, because I'm like, it's going to mess up the look of my feed.
Yes.
No kidding. See? It's exactly. going to mess up the aesthetic look of my feed.
Right.
Which is so kind of stupid, but you can share
it
in
your stories, or you can share it on your highlights.
Yes.
And in your feed, you just say, hey, you know, if you want to know the real down, you know, what really happened in Mexico, go to my highlights or go to my stories. You know, you have to direct or go to my blog. Direct them, you know, somewhere else.
Well, now I'm going to direct them to our podcast. What really went down
there you go.
In Mexico. You need to go listen to our blog.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had no idea. All Not that our
blog.
Happened.
I just said our blog because I keep thinking about your blog.
No.
Go and listen to our podcast. The podcast. If you want to know what really went down along with the rain in Mexico.
Because that's really all you shared was, oh, another day of rain. But then they went here, they went there, they were eating, drinking, swinging. Yeah.
Lots of drinking. Yeah.
It didn't look like lots of drinking. I mean, you go to Mexico, you're on vacation. Of course, you're going to be drinking.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
But if that's all there is to do because it's raining.
There was nothing else to do. We literally would just bar hop. One day we just walked from bar to bar to bar to bar to bar one night. And in the rain, we were soaking wet, hair in a bun, shorts and a t-shirt. And we just decided, like, there's nothing to do. We're not going to fight it. Let's just go enjoy the rain. Not be, because it wasn't freezing cold, because it's, you know, it was the Caribbean, so it was still warm, even though you're damp constantly and you have that chill the entire time. Your feet are wet, your clothes are wet, your socks are wet, your shoes are wet, like everything. You were just wet. But we just decided we're just going to walk and go try different drinks at different places and have an appetizer and try different things at different places. And we actually had fun and got super tipsy together and just ended up laughing and walking in the rain and we just made the best of it. And I think this is a great way to end this whole conversation too. No matter what gets thrown your way, it's not going to do you any good to just boohoo about it, right? Mm-hmm. You have to figure out how to make the best of it. You've got to go. You've got to say, I'm either going to throw in the towel and I'm going to give up and I'm going to go home, or I'm going to stay in this. And I'm going to figure out what else I can do to turn this around and turn this into as much of a positive as I possibly can. And you can do that in any situation.
Yeah, you can.
You know what I mean? So I think that would be a really good message for people. You know, bridge that gap on social media between real life and fantasy. And don't throw in the towel, you know, when things get challenging. I mean, obviously, there's times when it's appropriate to throw in the towel when things are getting bad. But for the most part, in terms of this conversation, you know, it doesn't mean just throw in the towel every time something gets a little challenging. There might be an actual, and most of the time there is, an amazing opportunity for something great and unexpected that never would have happened if everything went smooth as could be. There's always like that hidden gem opportunity, that really great surprise that you didn't expect, that experience that was super unexpected that turned out to be something really wonderful. And if you throw in the towel, you're never going to know what that is, you know?
Well, and that's so important with what's going on right now with the pandemic. So many people are back to family, making meals. Some people are quitting their jobs, or, you know, if they got laid off or whatever, and experiencing another, you know, they're finding out other things that they're happy about and doing that for a job. Some people are selling everything and, you know, getting a trailer or a motorhome and just taking off throughout the state.
Is that the person there are several.
She's
selling her house and taking out the equity. She wanted to know, is this a stupid idea or should I go for it? Go for it.
If she's 56, retired,
calling, you're retired. Yeah. She's single, she's retired, and she just wants to travel the country. And I'm all about it.
I told her, I said, do it. Those are my two words. Exactly. I was like, do it. And that was the consensus mostly, I think, of that.
The whole thread. Everybody
the whole thread.
Do it, do it, do it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think I saw one person say, don't
I don't
go
think
for
I
it.
Did. I don't think I did either. But, you know, she wasn't sure. So she reached out to this group, and we're all like, girl, you have to do it. Like, there's no other time but now. And I mean, I think a lot of people are figuring all of that out and taking other avenues. And that would have never happened if the pandemic had not hit and right. they were just doing their same old 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, taking yep. the kids here and there, seeing their family, whatever. Those opportunities wouldn't have presented themselves.
We met people while we were actually in Playa del Carmen, several people actually. And when we were leaving, we met somebody else at Enterprise Rent-A-Car at the counter. Tons of people are selling their home here, moving down to Mexico, and doing the work from home from Mexico with their family. They're bringing their kids down really? There. There are single people down there. I met two couples down there that are doing the same exact thing. They're doing the work from home from Mexico and getting the same pay, doing the work from home and renting a place down there and living basically in paradise down in Mexico in Tulum or in Playa del Carmen for like a third of the cost right. or less. Tons of people. So without this big crazy thing going on, these people never would have been able to experience this. So right. even in something as crushing as the pandemic, for so many people, there are hidden opportunities. There are opportunities if you can open yourself up enough to look for them and not, again, throw in the towel and right. stay focused on tragedy and really look at what else can I do? What other opportunities are out there? How can I turn this around? What action can I take to turn this into as much of a positive as I can, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well,
cool.
I'm going to turn this into a positive and get myself another drink because I'm empty.
You always finish before me.
Every single time.
I know. It's how we roll.
Cheers, Dolly.
Cheers, Dolly.
Hey, if you like this podcast, which we hope you love it, share it, give us a like, subscribe, tell everybody about it, and we hope you tune into the next one. We'll see you then.